You may be seated. I've got a message today that the Lord's laid on my heart. I'm going to do my best to stay out of the way and let the Holy Spirit minister. Oh, amen. Have you enjoyed the worship today? I have too. Okay, we're going to talk about repentance today. And I want to give you an illustration. I want you to really get this. I want you, okay, first you're going to have to help me. You ready to help me? In one or two words, I'm going to point to you. We're going to shout them out rapid fire. Tell me the words that come to your mind when you hear repentance. What words? Just raise your hand. I'll point to you. You shout it out and I'll repeat it. Mercy, repentance. Forgiven, repentance. Blessed, repentance. Godly sorrow. Confessing. Love. Grace. Turn away. That's it. There it is. That's what I was looking for. Turn away. When you repent, you turn. When you repent, you change your direction. When you repent, I'm not saying the other answers were wrong, but that's what I want you to hear today. To repent is to change your direction, to change your course, to change your focus, to stop doing what you're doing. We're thinking about it. We're talking about it. We know about it, but some of us haven't repented yet. So I'm going to help you. I'm going to just start moving around the sanctuary. And I'm going to tell you that, you know what? I think the Lord says, I shouldn't be doing this. I should stand up front. But I'm thinking about stopping. You know, you got to think about something. I'm praying about stopping. Somebody tell me, what's the difference between thinking about, I got mercy. I got grace. I've been forgiven. I'm going to stop someday. Someday I'm going to quit running in circles. Someday I'm going to quit just running in circles and I'm going to do what the Lord's called me to do. Someday I'm going to quit running and I'm going to quit running in circles and I'm going to do exactly what the Lord called me to do. Somebody say amen. Anybody out there ever run in circles in your life? You just seem to end up at the same place all the time. It's not lack of activity. Somebody say amen. It's not lack of desire. Someone say amen. But you'd help me now, saints. You tell me when I repented of this running in a circle. Tell me when I repented of it. Tell me. Have I repented yet? Have I repented of this running in a circle yet? Have I repented of this running in a circle yet? Well, how do you know if I've repented? Have I repented yet? Well, some of you haven't repented yet. You're going to have to help me for a minute while I catch my breath.
Does anybody know what I'm talking about?
No, I wasn't trying to be cute. I wasn't trying to be clever. I'm trying to be helpful. Some of you haven't repented yet. Some of you know all the scriptures. You know every chapter. You know every verse. You've taught the studies. You can quote them by memory. You don't need to open the Bible. But you haven't repented yet. And we're going to talk about repentance today. And I'm hoping and I'm praying that somebody here today, that somebody here today is going to repent. That somebody here today is going to say, okay, God, I'm going to stop my running. Huh? Somebody here today is going to say, okay, Lord, I've tried it my way long enough. I've had it my way long enough. Don't make me stand here all alone. Some of you never been to a church like, I don't know if there is a church like this, but we're not playing church. This is the church. I didn't say we're the only church. I'm saying this is church. Amen? And we're not supposed to come here to hear something nice and leave the same way we walked in. Amen? Amen? Now, I like a clean car. Anybody here like a clean car? I drive a black Lincoln. If it's dirty, you know it. Huh? Right? I like a clean car. So depending on the season, depending on the weather, I might wash that car twice a week. Because if you don't wash a car like that, it looks dirty. Now, some of you, you know what? I have washed the car, and my wife didn't notice. Good God Almighty, pray for her. I like a clean car. How often do you have to wash it to keep it clean? Well, it depends on how much life it's exposed to. Depends on whether it's in the garage or out on the street. Depends on whether it's pollen season or whether it's been raining. Hello? Used to live in Chicago years ago. In the winter, you could wash your car every day. Huh? I'd sometimes wash my car and come home and have to wash it. How often you have to repent? Oh, I did that when I got baptized. Oh, good for you. Now, my father was different. I was with him one time when he used to get a new car every year. That was back in the day when if you drove much, you needed a new car every year. I was with him the day he was ordering his 1968 Plymouth station wagon. I happened to be sitting there when the salesman said to him, Mr. Payne, I think we got everything on your order now. Well, you know, you want this option, this option, this option, this option, this option. Oh, we need to decide on the color. What color would you like your car to be, Mr. Payne? My dad paused for a moment and he said, what do you got that's closest to dirt? You see, my dad's car was washed every time it rained. So he got that bronze station wagon, and I don't think he washed it from the day he got it till the day he traded it in. In fact, I remember once in a while it'd be raining, and my dad would say, oh, good, the windows needed cleaned on the car. So we had a different idea about how to take care of a car. But we can't have different ideas about how to repent. We need to know what the Bible says. We need to understand. See, Jeremiah was a great prophet. You remember when Jesus said, who do people say I am? Jeremiah was a great prophet. He was well known. And even in the days of Christ, the testimony of Jeremiah carried on. Some thought maybe he was Jeremiah. He had been chosen before birth. He was chosen when he was still in his mother's womb. And there comes a time when he's considering walking away from his calling. This great prophet is grumbling. He's complaining to God about what he's been called to do. Now, I know there's no one alive on the planet today that can relate to that. Except you and me. Jeremiah's been called. He's been gifted. He's been blessed. He's been a blessing. And now he's grumbling. 15th chapter of Jeremiah, we find these words in verses 16 through 18. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. I sat not in the assembly of mockers, nor rejoiced. I sat alone because of thy hand, for thou hast filled me with indignation. Why is my pain perpetual and my wound incurable, which refuses to be healed? Wilt thou be altogether unto me as a liar, as the waters that fail? Good God Almighty, how he talked to God. None of us would like to talk to God like that, would we? Oh, man, and yet we do. Yeah, you. Yeah, me. And yet we do. We sometimes tell God that our situation ain't right, and it's his fault. Jeremiah's complaining, his gift of prophecy is causing him more trouble than it's worth. It's not the only time he struggled with his calling. Look at chapter 20, verses 8 through 10. For since I spake, I cried out, I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me, and a derision a daily. Verse 9, then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. Verse 10, for I heard the defaming of many, fear on every side. Report, say they, and we will report it. All my familiars watched for my halting, saying, peradventure he will be enticed. We shall prevail against him. We shall take our revenge on him. You see, Jeremiah's way wasn't easy, but it was clear. He was supposed to proclaim the way of the Lord. He was supposed to say, hey, the Lord's not happy with some things, and you need to know what they are, and you need to repent. That was his mission. That's what he was called to do. But you know what? He got to a place where he struggled with his calling. He was raised right. He talked about that. He said he didn't go with the mockers. He was where he was supposed to be. He avoided places he shouldn't be. He was raised right. He knew right. Maybe you've been raised right. Maybe you knew right. Maybe you know all the scriptures. But you see, he not only that, but he did right. And there was a period in his life when he did exactly what he's supposed to do. But then there comes this time when the humanness of Jeremiah comes to a surface point, and it begins to be a conflict with his calling. And sometimes our humanness can be in conflict with our calling. In fact, not sometimes, all the time. And that's why Scripture says we need to put the flesh in subjection to the Spirit. Because the Spirit won't be in subjection to the flesh. And yet daily we must put our flesh in subjection to the Spirit. Amen? Go to chapter 15, Matt. Put that up, verse 7, if you would, please. Chapter 15 and 7. I sat not the assembly of the mockers, nor rejoiced. We read that a little bit ago. I want to go back and highlight it here. I sat alone because of thy hand, for thou hast filled me with indignation. He understood the difference between right and wrong, and for a long time he lived it. But now comes a time. So God speaks to Jeremiah, talking about repentance today. God speaks to Jeremiah in chapter 15, verses 19 through 20. And he says to him, therefore thus saith the Lord, if thou return, then will I bring thee again, and thou shalt stand before me. And if thou take forth the precious from the vial, thou shalt be as my mouth. Let them return unto thee, but return not thou unto them. And I will make thee unto this people a fenced brazen wall. Who will do that? The Lord will. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. God's saying to him, you know what? I got a handle on this thing. From your perspective, it looks like, you know what, you did the right thing, you got the wrong result. From your perspective, it looks like, come on, somebody knows exactly what I just said. So from earth, it looks sometimes like we did the right thing and got the wrong result. It's his fault, it's her fault. Okay, I'm going to step out of the message, I'm going to help somebody. One time after I preached what I thought was a particularly blessed and anointed message, I was standing in the hallway after church, and I was ready for the accolades. I was ready for people to tell me how good I did. And I thought, after I stand in line and after people stand in line to tell me how good I did, I can't wait to get home so my wife can tell me, ooh. I can't wait. She's going to say, Pete, you were something today. You lit your hair on fire and people watched you burn. It was something special. And the first man in line, he shook my hand. He says, Pastor, I have something to tell you. And I said, I'm ready. And he said, I didn't like anything about you. I don't like a single thing about you. You're a lousy preacher. You got a horrible delivery. When you make a joke, it isn't funny. He's just stopped short of talking about my family. And I did exactly what you would do in a case like that. I prayed for wisdom. God, what would you want me to say? Say something, say nothing. What do you want me to do here, Lord? And I said something to this effect to him. I said, if I was your mailman and I delivered the best package you ever got, but in the process I stepped in your garden and squished your roses and got mud on your front porch, I rang the doorbell too many times, what would you do with the package? And he said, I'd keep it. I said, good. It's a good package. You might not like the delivery man, but it's a good package. And I'm telling you today, this isn't about whether you like me. It's about whether you believe the word of God and whether you're willing to repent, whether you're willing to stop running in circles, whether you're willing to quit wasting your time and, more importantly, God's time. You see, God's got time, but we don't. Our days are numbered, Scripture tells us. In other words, make a choice. What are we going to do? It's time to make a choice. God said to Jeremiah, repent and I'll bless your life. But you can't be half in and half out. You got to make a choice. And that message from God to Jeremiah is just as true today to you and I as it was to him then. Could the church say amen? And I want to be clear on this point. When we call ourselves followers of Christ, when we profess that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, when we identify with Jesus as our Lord, when we call ourselves Christians, it can be painful at times. It can cost us at times. It should cost us at times. It's not supposed to be cheap. Jesus gave his life. He shed his blood for our salvation. It's not supposed to be cheap. Salvation is precious. Now, we can't earn it, but we need to respect it. And some of us have received this free gift, and we haven't respected it. You know, with the free gift of salvation, we enter into a relationship. We call him Lord and Savior. Those are two different things, and he needs to be both. Let's talk about Savior first. Our name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. When we die, we go to heaven instead of hell. That's the Savior part. Anybody want that part? Anybody want that part? If you didn't raise your hand, I'm hoping you're asleep. Sure, we want that part. Heaven's better than hell, isn't it? Yeah, we want that part, but what about the Lord part? What about the Lord part? Hello? Some of you are missing it. I got to help you. Debbie, would you come and stand next to me? Oh, she's nervous. 38 years ago, this girl said yes to me at the altar, and we entered into a covenant of marriage. And we don't agree on everything. I already told you that that she doesn't care if the car is clean or dirty. And she may still be able to go to heaven for that. But I'll tell you one thing that I'm quite convinced that she's going to go straight to hell for. And that is, she squeezes the toothpaste in the middle of the tube. I have got training videos, posters. I bought the little twisty thing you put on the bottom of the tube and you twirl it up. I've offered to squeeze her toothpaste onto her brush. To no avail. We've been married 38 years, and Debbie still squeezes the toothpaste. I'm going to miss you when I get to heaven, Debbie. But on a serious note, watch this. There's nothing. I'm doing this to help you get the message of repent today. And we agreed earlier on, at least I agreed, that it means, for purposes of today's message, to turn, to stop, to change direction, to quit doing what you were doing. Do you know there's nothing I would allow to continue in my life that would interfere with my relationship with this woman? Now, I was joking a little bit about the car, but you know what? If I had to for our relationship, I'd never wash the car again. Whatever I had to do for our relationship to be right. Now, I don't mean that she's the boss and I'm going to do whatever she says. I mean, we have a loving relationship. And that's a two-way street. And your relationship with God is a two-way street. And he loves you, and he would never do anything to interfere with his relationship with you. And here's the message today. Are you allowing anything to interfere with your relationship with God? He's keeping his part of the bargain. Amen? And if you can appreciate that in a human relationship, a husband and wife relationship, hello? Let me tell you, and some of you heard me share this before. Stay with me, Debbie. Help me for a moment. I'm coming under the radar for a minute because I want to help you get this important point about your relationship with God today. There was a time after Debbie and I had been married a handful of years. I don't remember exactly. It might have been 4. It might have been 3. I don't know. But somewhere in that early part of our marriage. And Debbie said to me one day, basically, in essence, she said, Peter, you never tell me you love me. And I was ready to defend myself. I said, Debbie, your birthday is January 10th. I told you then, I love you. Our anniversary is June 14th. I remember telling you then, I love you. I think I even said it on July 4th when we went and saw the fireworks. I said, I love you. That's 3 times in 1 year that I can recall right off the top of my head. She was not impressed. I learned something. This girl likes to hear, I love you. And now I tell her every day, as often as I'm able, as often as is realistic, as often as makes sense, because that's important to our relationship. Some of you haven't told God you loved him for a long time and he wants you to. Some of you respond to me because I know human nature well enough to know that a crowd this size, I can say it safely. Some of you are saying, well, God hasn't told me he loves me for a long time. You're wrong. Thank you, Debbie. Thank you, Debbie. God tells you every day he loves you. Did you see the sunrise this morning? Go like this. That's God saying, I love you. You can get twisty on me with your theology, but you know what I'm trying to say. Check your pulse. You got one? That's God saying, ba-boom, ba-boom, I love you, ba-boom, I love you, ba-boom, I love you, ba-boom, ba-boom, I love you, ba-boom, 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 I love you. No, he does it better than that, but you know what I just said. Don't get picky on me. It's not about the messenger. It's about the message. Salvation's precious, precious. Let's go to the New Testament. Matthew chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. Jesus is speaking. He said, blessed are you when men shall what? Revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Is it supposed to be perfect every day on earth? I mean, are we supposed to always have, you know, I know some people would like to preach that if you have a right relationship with God, no one will ever mistreat you. No one will ever say an unkind word to you. No one will ever do you wrong. Nothing will ever happen in your life that displeases you. You'll always have the right change at the toll booth, and you'll always have money to pay the utilities. And yet I don't read that in Scripture. I realize that life isn't meant to be easy, but it's meant to matter. And he said, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. See, it didn't say they did it because you messed up. They did it for, Pastor Thomas, I still think of the message you preached when you said sometimes it's persecution and sometimes it's stupecution. And sometimes you're just stupid enough that you brought it on yourself. Amen? I don't think stupecution is in the Bible, but maybe it could be. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you. Verse 12 says, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. See, that's when we get upset with this life, it's because we got our focal point on this life. I'm going to say that again. When we're frustrated with this life, it's because we're focusing on this life. Does that make sense? We have a Monday morning focal point instead of a Friday afternoon focal point. And if you don't get paid on Friday afternoon, then maybe you missed what I just said. But we have a Monday morning focal point when we ought to have a Friday afternoon focal point. I'm going to heaven. Whatever happens between now and then won't matter much once I get there. You ever been misunderstood? You ever been mistreated? You ever been persecuted? Now, persecution is when you're doing it exactly right. And you could tell me whether this is stupecution or persecution. I was an E3 in the Navy. It was my first year in the Navy. And they had given me gate duty on a remote gate. I was out watching a gate to the entrance of a place where there were warehouses, and we kept the gates locked. That's how remote it was. So in other words, if somebody pulled up, I had to go out and unlock the gate and check their paperwork and make sure they were really there for the right reason at the right place, and then I would let them proceed to the warehouse to make their delivery or do their pickup or whatever it was. Well, the chief who was in charge of all those gates showed up at my gate, and I was standing in a booth not much bigger than would hold this pulpit. There was a little shelf in front of it and then a window, and I came out of the guard shack, and I said, hello, chief. And he said, are you reading in the guard shack, son? I said, yes, I am, chief. He said, do you know you're not supposed to be reading in the guard shack, son? I said, yes, I do, chief. He said, what are you reading in that guard shack? I said, the Bible. He said, if you know you're not supposed to be reading, why are you reading? I said, you know, I'm a brand new Christian, chief. I just can't stop doing it. I'm so excited about being a Christian. And he shook his head and walked away. He got in his car, didn't even ask me to open the gate, just drove away like, I don't know what I'm going to do with him. I saw him about a month later. He said, you still reading that Bible? I said, yes, I am, chief. He just shook his head and walked away. I think he thought I could punish him, but he'd still read the thing. Are you excited about your relationship with Christ? Or has it become routine? Has it become mundane? Has it become something you just have to do? Or is it still something you want to do? Do you wake up in the morning and say, thank you, Lord? It wasn't too long ago, I woke up, I was having a great dream. I don't even have to tell you what the dream was. When I tell you this, you'll get the idea. I was asleep on my back, laying in bed. When I opened my eyes, my hands were straight up. It wasn't rigor mortis. I had just been dreaming about praising the Lord. I thought that was odd. It put a smile on my face that I couldn't get off all day. It was so, just imagine waking up going, yes, Lord. I almost wanted to go back to sleep and finish the dream. Some of you haven't felt that for a long time. And I came to you today to tell you maybe if you repent. No, not maybe. If you haven't felt that, it's time to repent. It's time to improve your relationship with your Savior and with your Lord. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. I haven't made Christianity sound very appealing today, perhaps, but you know, it's the day-to-day of it. Amen? It's the day-to-day of it. And we need to repent of anything that interferes with our relationship with God. Could the church say amen? So Peter's writing, and in chapter 4, he says these words in verse 12 and 13. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. Isn't that interesting? It's not supposed to be easy. Think it not strange concerning. And then he goes on to say, but rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. I'd like to ask the orchestra to come up and remind me that I'm circling the airport. Let's spend the remainder of our time in the 51st Psalm, and maybe one or two more verses in the New Testament. But let's go first to Psalms 51, and 17. Psalm 51 and 17, we read these words: "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." Some of us haven't had a broken and contrite heart in a long time because we're Christians, after all. We're doing it right. We got all the answers. We know all the studies. I got notebooks full of Bible studies. I mean, what do I need a broken and contrite spirit for? I had that when I got saved. Why do I need to work on my relationship with God? I'm already a Christian. My name is already written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm going to heaven when I die. Doesn't matter what happens between now and then, oh, doesn't it? Holly, in her welcome today, made reference to the Great Commission. I know it's recorded in each gospel, but let's take Matthew's version of it for a moment. "Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end." We're supposed to be about something on earth. Amen? And if our relationship with God has deteriorated to the point where we no longer repent, where we no longer have a contrite and broken spirit, where we no longer can let God make course corrections in our life. Hello? 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 Sometimes we know the answer so well that we aren't listening to the directions. Some of you don't know what I'm talking about. I'm trying to think of how to illustrate it. I'll just say it this way. Sometimes we've done it so long our way that we're not listening to God tell us. He wants us to change it. I'll just leave it right there. What if God's saying to you today, it's time for you to repent? He said it to Jeremiah. Why wouldn't he say it to you? He loves you. Does Scripture not tell us that whom he loves, he chastens? Oh, I know that this hasn't been the kind of message to make you think, oh, man, this Christianity thing sounds like the bomb. This sounds exciting. I love it. No, this has been meat and potatoes day. This has been meat and potatoes day. If you grew up in a house like I did, if you talked bad to your mother, your father was very quick to say to you, excuse me. And so I know some of you didn't have that. And I'm just saying, can you relate to the picture I'm trying to paint there? If you talked bad to your mother, your father said, excuse me. That's not how you talk to your mother. Right? You look her in the eye. Treat her with respect. She brought you into this world, and I could take you out. A little attempted humor there, but you got what I'm saying. Amen? Why don't we want that kind of relationship with our Heavenly Father? Or do you think you're so right you never need correction? Do you think you're so right you never need repentance? Do you think you're so right you never had a bad attitude? Somebody's missing it today. I got to just dig a little deeper. I've been a pastor for 30 plus years, all right? Do you know that there are times, God forgive me that this is true, but there are times where I get to the point where when the phone rings, it's like, no, not another call. I hate that I'm that way. I hate that that's the place I go to when I'm completely worn out. Why not another call? Isn't that what I'm here for? Isn't that what God called me to do? Yes, another call. Yes, another appointment. Yes, another person to pray with. And you might say, oh, Pastor, you must be the worst man on earth. How could you ever get to the place where you cringe when the phone rings? Because I'm human like you. And when I get that way, I need to repent and say, God, forgive me. Let me get back to business. Let me get back on track. Let me get a right attitude with you. Let's do this. Let's see if we can't get some meat on this. And come take my pulpit away so I remember I'm trying to stop here. Go to the 51st Psalm in verses 10 through 13. It's David. If you know the storyline, you know that David has been king. He was a young boy who killed Goliath as a warrior who was well-decorated and old and seasoned and a strong man. And he killed Goliath, and he became king, and he had a loving relationship with God, and then he got on his own track. And he sinned, and he did horrible things, and he failed miserably. And he knew he had disappointed God to a point where it was conceivable that his ministry was going to be gone forever. And he had to repent. Yes, I'm preaching to those of you who need to make a profession of faith. You have to repent to accept the Lord. But I'm also preaching to those of us who've been Christians for a long time. And that's the message today, is that we need to daily repent. And David slipped and he fell. And he said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Restore or cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me." He knew what it was like to have a right relationship. He knew what it was like to hear God say, "I love you." And he knew what it was like to say, "I love you" to God. But he got to a place where he followed his own path. He did it his own way. He was running in circles. And the day came when he had to either repent or quit. Some of you got lousy attitudes. No, that's not me judging you. It's me trying to help you say, quit. Is it not broke enough yet? Debbie and I have been in the car. And she said, it is before GPS, but even after GPS, a couple times I've needed this. She said, "Peter, are you ready to stop and ask directions?" And I said, "No, I'm just not that lost yet. There's still a chance that I could figure this out. There's still a chance that I could get on the right road and maybe we'll get there and I could say I did it. There's enough male hormones in me that I don't want to ask directions." Can anybody relate to that? I'm just not lost enough, Debbie. If I get a little more lost, maybe I'll ask for directions. Hello? Hello? Are you lost enough yet? Are you lost enough yet that you're ready to repent? Are you lost enough yet that you're ready to say, "God, I'm ready. What do you want? How do you want me to do it?" See, God doesn't mess up. That's another study. I guess we could get into that. And you know what? The list is long of reasons that we don't have to do it. The church this, the pastor that, he this, she that. You want to find a perfect church? Die. No, because and get saved first. If you're writing notes, put an asterisk next to that, okay? Otherwise, you just end up mourning like we got here. Just people that are people. I want to go to heaven. How about you? Okay, so I think I didn't do the last verse there. Let's do verse 13. We're in Psalms 51. We did 10. We did 11. Let's do 12. That's what I meant. Restore unto me the joy. That's it. That's it. Singers, would you come? In a few moments, I'm going to ask you to stand. That's the message. Restore unto me the joy. If nothing else has motivated you to repent, consider that. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. I don't know if you got verse 16 or the next verse available, but it says something like, "Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." Hallelujah. We're going to stand in the sanctuary and open this altar. If you want to come, you can.